As universities let out for the summer, many students are preparing for unpaid internships, hoping to improve their employability. The practice of not paying interns has become increasingly widespread, and here to talk about some of the implications is Dr. Phil Gardner. Phil's the director of the Collegiate Employment Research Institute here at Michigan State University, and he's worked with students on career and academic decision-making. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Last year, more than half of the internships that students accepted were unpaid. Has the proportion of unpaid to paid internships changed significantly over the year?
Actually, to tell you the truth, we don't know. And that number of 50% is just a guess. My numbers put it around more like 40% to 45%. But we don't know.
Unpaid.
Okay. We don't know exactly. Unpaid internships have been here forever. They've been usually concentrated in specific sectors of the economy, like in nonprofit sector. They've been there for a long time, and we know those. We have seen an expansion out into other sectors. Why the numbers have jumped so significant is you used to only survey big corporate 500 companies about their hiring intentions, and most all those companies pay. So when you look at the mix of people that are organizations that hire college students, it's much broader than that. So as we broaden out and captured smaller companies, companies outside the traditional manufacturing sector and finance sector, we began to pick up more and more companies. So while the numbers look like we've all of a sudden had this sudden growth, we could have had that situation for a long time.
Very interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any legal guidelines about what an internship actually is? Or can a company just put up an ad and bring some student in to perform any number of really menial tasks and call it an internship?
Basically, you're right. There is one group of experiential education called cooperative education that has very specific guidelines in a contract between the university, the employer, and the student, and they must be paid. And those are controlled by some groups external to the university, and they've set standards. But when you look at broad internships, there's really no rules about any of this. We just do it on relationships and hopefully in the best interest of the student, but anybody can post an intern. In fact, we have control over a small percentage of the internships that students may encounter while they're looking for an internship. They're posted everywhere. And so we don't, and there is no really benchmark, standards. We have expectations and we do try to set standards and we try to talk to students about what they should look for and consider when they internship. And if it doesn't meet those standards, they should turn it down. But there isn't a lot of control points. Now we're working at that at Michigan State. We're trying to bring in some more and focus globally for the university on what are the best practices, what are our standards, how to educate students when they go out and find their internships, because not all of them do it through the service that are provided by MSU.
Are you reaching out to the companies, though, too? Do you have dialogue with them?
We have people that spend a lot of time working with companies and interface and try, and particularly with young, newer companies, companies that are starting internship programs, there's a lot of confusion among employers. They're not sure what to do. So when employers reach out, we have, various people on campus from in engineering business and in my unit, because I'm also the executive director of career services, that can help employers build programs, support them during those programs. But a lot of employers some employers just don't take the time, they don't are interested in that. They'll just post something that they think is appropriate and hope to get a student. And then the student gets in and does it, and then they're disappointed that it doesn't really leverage them into a position to be competitive in full-time employment.
Are you or your colleagues, Phil, ever in a position where you find yourself trying to persuade an employer to make an internship a paid internship as opposed to unpaid? Do you get in that
there's
situation?
We do. I mean, there's situations where we try to convince the employer that you know, to pay the student. We prefer that all students that are in experiential education situations, like in internships, are paid. I mean, given the climate today and the pressures on students, my personal bias is that we shouldn't put extra burdens on the student at this time. I mean, if a company wants an intern, they should be able to pay at least minimum wage to have that student so work for them or train with them, however it's defined, and so they can cover their basic costs and expenditures to carry out that assignment.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Phil Gardner here of Michigan State University's Collegiate Employment Research Institute about paid and unpaid internships and how the internship landscape is changing. A recent article in Forbes magazine contends that unpaid internships make one less employable and that, in fact, your pay is likely to be worse after you graduate if you do an unpaid internship than if you do a paid one. Why is that?
Now, I'm not sure about that data set, and I'm not sure where they got that data, because that's not necessary. You have to really, really look at and break this out by where the student is, because certain academic majors, it varies by academic. So if we're looking at engineering where 85% of the internships are unpaid and the 15% that are unpaid will be at a real disadvantage to anybody that's paid in engineering. But when you look at people that are students that are following careers in social justice, nonprofits, those situations, they can be really good situations that leverage them for a job, and they're not disenfranchised. I mean, we don't have really good data, and the data sets that some of these suggestions are made from are rather weak, and they're not well-defined, and it's troubling that there's a lot of misunderstanding about this. We know that from large data sets of students, that students are involved, a lot of the students that are involved in unpaid internships are in health, education, social justice, social advocacy, and nonprofits, and they tend to come from mid and lower income families. The people that are involved in for-profits from some limited sector, high profile, where a lot of this attention has been focused, do come from families with much higher incomes. And so unless you understand that some of the dynamics and you don't understand who you're serving, this can get really messy and we make all bad kind of conclusions off of it. So I'm not set. I think that certain students, because they take unpaid and in certain environments where we see some bad things going on, and there are those out there, are suffer. But when you look at what the goals in students, sometimes that's the only kind of experience they can get, because those kind of organizations train young people to be professional in the field, but they can't necessarily directly hire them because that's not what they're doing it for. They're doing it to help the profession.
You're listening to Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. There have been questions about intern abuse, ridiculously long hours, even sexual harassment, things like that. There have been reports the interns don't have much recourse, especially since they're often told they need these internships to succeed. Are there any efforts afoot to have some protections for unpaid
interns? Well, that's why we want more better educated students and want students to go through our advisors, whether they're their career advisors or the internship advisors in the college or the colleges. Because go back to cooperative education, there are rules there, and and the people that, like on our campus, Bernadette Frederick, monitors those co-ops. And if there is an issue, we intercede. If there is, and so if we're involved and the internship has come through our interactions as an intermediary, we will do site visits. We will be there to, if a student complains about a sexual harassment case, but for the students that don't use our services, that get it any way they want, where most of the abuse is housed, we don't know they're out there. We don't know anything about it. There's nothing we can do.
Is that the case at most universities?
Yes.
They have an office that can help an intern through a challenge like this?
Yeah, there's we do have resources for that. But that means the student knows getting into it that those resources are there, and that's the problem.
What about internships for college credit? I mean, these provide a benefit to the student, clearly. What role do internships for college credit play in this changing landscape?
Well, there's several roles. I mean, credit-bearing internships are positive when it's built into the educational program of the student, and it's integrated in the learning model, like co-op is a credit-based. And as long as the tuition isn't onerous, because, you know, especially if they're not being paid, that's where credit gets a little cloudy, and the merits of credit. It's when they're on unpaid internships. To be legal, you must be earning credit. So the student has to pay credit for an unpaid job, and so they have to hold another job to pay for the credits. And we know that from our survey research. So on one hand, there are situations that are well monitored by faculty and academic that are integrated, credit pays off. Where it's nonprofit and they're trying to meet the six-prong test from the Bureau of Labor, then they're paying for credit, and the burden's on the student.
We've been talking with Dr. Phil Gardner. Phil's the director of the Collegiate Employment Research Institute here at Michigan State. We've been talking about the changing world of paid versus unpaid college internships. Phil, thank you.
You're welcome.